Welcome back to the Fox Sports Podcast. I am Marshall Weber. You are not. You are Andrew Brown. And there's a caucus going on right now. And The Bachelor. And I'm sure plenty of other things. But the most important thing of all those things is that National Signing Day is 2 days away, buddy.
We can almost stop going insane about what 18-year-olds are going to do as far as where they choose their school.
I know.
And that's very exciting to me.
It's exciting for me in a lot of ways. But that being the main one and not having to watch, I don't know, because we're both on Twitter a lot. And so every time I see a UT coach, like the linebacker recruiting coach that just tweeted out, oh, you didn't see this. You were in the bagno. But whatever his name is, and I have the tweet somewhere, but he's like, it's Christmas season in Austin. It's like, subtle.
Yeah.
Very subtle. So I'm just ready for that to go away. But to be fair, I don't feel like this year was as bad as last year with the whole, even stuff we weren't even really involved in, like the Kyler Murray stuff, between him going between A&M and Texas and kind of playing both sides. It's just like, there's really not a whole lot of that this year.
In retrospect, isn't it kind of funny that
he ended up at OU?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm going to let you finish.
You're not wrong. I mean, I'm not going to finish now, but
anyway, but our class is mostly set. We're going to have our good friend from last week, Bradley Hardcastle, come on. Kind of just, you know, this is like finals, baby. This is like springtime finals. Not winter finals where you're cramming and you're maybe kind of on the, you know, this happened to me, I'm sure this happened to you, but the fall, my grades were always worse in the fall. They were always all right. They always ended up okay, but
I was actually the other way around.
How are you worse in spring? Football is like when everybody's grades dip, because you have like something to do every Saturday, you're hungover on Sunday.
Oh, I thought you were saying your grades are worse in the spring.
Definitely not. Okay. And if you think about it, like, we're not even there that much at school in the spring. You have spring break, you have like MLK Day off.
Such a short semester.
Junior year. Yeah, and you get out like the first week of May. Like weeks before, like the Texas kids do.
The start of baseball season was always bittersweet to me because it was always like, I love baseball, but this is also the beginning of the end of the school year.
I remember like my junior year when we had that ice week off. That was the quickest semester of my life. We really had like 10 weeks of school or something.
We had two spring breaks,
basically. Yeah, we had a ice break and we had a hot break. Yeah. But, and we always got like a week out or like 2 or 3 weeks out earlier than Texas. I remember when we'd come home and watch the NBA playoffs when we were out of school, all those kids would still be like staying for finals. We're like, suckers. But yeah, but what I was like, I was saying with finals and whatnot, it's, there's really not a whole lot of drama for TCU. There's probably about 4-ish guys left, 5 maybe, that TCU are kind of eyeing, but the class is set. The class will probably finish a top 25 if they get a couple of these guys we're talking about. And the guys that I'm immediately thinking about are Kyle Porter, Tyree Cleveland. I'm just going to call him Audi Osho because I'm going to screw up his last name.
Yeah.
If I don't, that's what he is on Twitter, or a.k.a. Scarface. DeAndre Christmas Giles. And can you remember that kid's name that's probably going to LSU?
Mullen?
Yeah.
Trayvon Mullen.
I don't even know why we're even going to really talk about him, but he's, I think, no doubt in my mind, he's going to LSU. So, but yeah, I mean, I think the class is set. I think this is like, it's like, so like, again, to reiterate, this is like finals. Like, you're doing well in your classes. You basically just have to show up, you know?
Yeah.
You basically have to get above a 50.
Yeah.
We might be talking about somebody that we might be losing, but I think we're going to probably gain one of the people we just mentioned. So I think it'll even out and it'll turn out rather lovely, and, you know, I don't know. It's not like Texas where we have to use a believe hashtag. Is that a little funny to you that they have to use that? I feel like even
pretty much everything that happens to Texas's program for the last like 3 years, I find funny.
Yeah, I mean, they had like the number 12 class last year, at least according to Rivals, and it's like they're using a believe hashtag like a sickly child or.
Yeah. You
know, believe, get us through this. It's like, get you through what? Like, Texas is a very attractive place for a player and a coach. It's like, you don't need to, you know, I don't know.
What kind of surprised me, though, is Strong historically was kind of like Patterson, and that a lot of the players that he got were sort of lower rated guys, yeah. You know, just kind of lunch pail, you know, just whatever.
PFT commentator over here.
Yeah.
Just the commenter.
Whatever, you know, cliche you want to use. Just kind of workhorse guys that would come in and he would develop them. And I'm a little surprised that he's putting all of his eggs in the kind of the five-star basket.
But they don't have any five-stars.
Well, but...
There aren't even that many five-stars in this class, actually. No, they're probably like seven or eight.
But you know what I'm saying, though. Like, I mean, just linemen, he's really going hard after the...
Yeah, but when you're Texas, like, you're going to get those type of players.
But he's not going after the
because he doesn't need to anymore. But here's a thing before we get Bradley on. I was talking about this on GChat, like I normally do. TCU can get four-star defensive ends, defensive linemen, four-star linebackers. Why do you think they don't get four-star defensive backs?
That's a good question. You know, I have thought about that before because it seems like, especially after Verrett, I would have thought we would land
Had very good defensive back classes that, you know, since we've been in the Big 12.
Yeah.
This year being the exception.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Tejada was probably a three-star.
Yeah.
His brother's a three-star. And
he was a three-star.
It's all right.
I mean, Simmons is a three-star, I think.
I don't know. Do you think it's because Patterson, I mean, he probably coaches more the line in practice, but do you think has anything to do with how hard he works players and maybe that translates differently to defensive backs?
Well, for one thing,
I'm sure Glasgow's not
for one thing, I don't think there are as many 4-star and 5-star DBs.
Yeah.
Or at least not really also, like the blue chip ones. I think a truly elite cornerback is very rare coming out of high school
and they usually go to Texas or LSU, and it's just
those guys usually, I mean, cornerback especially is a position where you have to really develop your craft in college. You know, you can be a good athlete and be able to cover a guy one-on-one in high school. But, you know, if you don't have a grasp on, you know, coverage schemes and, you know, you're not physical and run support and stuff. I mean, that's all I can think it is there just aren't as many 4-star cornerbacks.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to put it. It is definitely a difficult position to play. And I also think some of it could be that Patterson also likes to keep those kind of more ambiguous players that don't really know what they're going to play going to college, and he loves to mold those guys into great defensive backs, Sam Carter being like one of the best examples.
Well, and I think he knows what he looks for in a player, you know?
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, if you go back and you look at some of the players that, you know, historically we've taken that have maybe kind of had egos and, you know, maybe didn't end up working out so well. Most of those guys usually were on the offensive side of the ball. You know, Devontae Fields is one guy that you can kind of point to, but really he just kind of screwed up and was immature and made some bad decisions, but I wouldn't have really called him an ego guy.
That's true.
So I think...
I agree with that.
I think, you know, especially these elite, you know, DBs and elite, you know, linebacker prospects and stuff, you know, Patterson might be willing to take a chance on guys that he's not coaching directly, but as far as the guys that he has his hands on, you know, in practice, I think he knows what he wants.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're about to bring Bradley on. How are you going to be watching National Signing Day? Just at your computer at work? Because that's probably how I'm going to be watching.
I'll probably be making frequent trips to the bathroom. I did air quotations there. I'm just going to lock myself in the stall for 20 minutes at a time and just check Twitter.
It's the best way to do it. And we're about to talk about Kyle Porter in a minute, but here's in the age of Twitter, it's kind of weird. Well, we'll just save this. And, give him a call. Told him I'm calling, so.
Oh, be rad.
It's my favorite part when we bring people on. Just Bradley, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Frogs of War?
You came in ready this time.
I know. People know. How's your night going, buddy?
Going all right. Just pretty busy though. A lot of stuff to cover before Wednesday.
So watching the caucus.
Sure. Sorry.
Watching the caucus?
No, that is not what I'm watching. I am watching how TCU's 2016 recruiting class is filling out. That's what I'm watching.
Well, how is it going since last time we spoke?
How is it coming out? I mean, it's looking great so far. Maybe a couple moves on National Signing Day, but I mean, everything looks good so far.
And what do you think those moves might be? Because we were talking a little bit before you came on. Probably left. There's Kyle Porter. There's Tyree Cleveland. Maybe DeAndre Christmas Giles. Audi. I always screw up his last name. I just call him Audi Osho because that's what he is on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Are we missing anybody? Trayvon Mullen, but he's pretty much LSU. Is there anybody that we're missing that we should have on our radar going in? Because by the time the people listen to this, it'll be tomorrow. So, yeah, going into tomorrow's National Signing Day, anything people should be have their eye on that of guys we just didn't name just now?
Yeah, I think Keandre Woodtie from Parkway High School in Buckhead City, Louisiana. He's a quarterback, but just kind of an athlete, all-around guy that can play about anything. Really kind of a short, quick actually, he's kind of a tall guy, but he's really fast, super athletic. He's kind of down to TCU and Oklahoma State. Really, he used to be committed, I believe, to Louisiana Tech, but now he's between Frogs and the Cowboys. So I think that he might possibly sign on National Signing Day. It just looks to be between those two. It could kind of depend on who else commits. Maybe if Tyree Cleveland commits that he can't. Maybe if Odemosho also commits that he might not be able to. He might not have a spot guy that could possibly sign with TCU on signing day. Other than that, it looks, other than the guys you mentioned, of course, like Cleveland, Porter, and the rest, he's the one guy to also look out for.
Great. And speaking of Cleveland, we'll start on Cleveland. He seemed like he really enjoyed his visit at Florida. It seems like Houston might be out of the picture now. Arkansas definitely out. It doesn't seem like he's said anything about Houston. He may have not have had a lot of contact with Houston as of late. So it seems almost like a coin flip between Florida and TCU. Do we have that right?
I don't think it's Florida TCU. I think Florida made a big impression on him. But from what I've been reading, I think that, and just also been hearing from other people, is that I think it's more between TCU and Arkansas.
Really?
I think his family has some Arkansas connections.
Okay.
And I think certain family members are kind of pushing for him to, take a closer look. And he really, he's one of those guys that, really was interested. However, it seems like TCU is really coming down hard on him, really knocking on the door.
Do you know who's recruiting him the hardest?
Visit last week. I think that it's between really TCU, Arkansas, and of course Houston. There was talk that we could possibly see a decommitment from him, since I've heard that Houston's coaching staff isn't really too happy with him, not officially visiting there. So I think there is a big, good possibility.
As much as I like Tom Herman, they still kind of have somewhat of a reality check, I feel like. And, people live in glass houses, shan't throw rocks, but we were kind of there a few years ago. But it's also like you're trying to build up, they have the hashtag H-Town Takeover. We have Funky Town 15. Texas has Let's Ride and Believe. Who cares what A&M's is? I'm sure Baylor has something cheeky and dumb, but I don't know. I mean, this is really just digging into Houston. It just seems like they're not really in a position. That just seems like something Ohio State or Michigan or Alabama, LSU, whoever, are in a position to do. They should be pushing hard at this kid, I feel like, and not being like, all right, well, screw you if you're going to go look at Arkansas and TCU. It's like, well, you're still in the conference you're in. You're still kind of a little guy. If Herman leaves, you're just kind of a stepping stone. I'm not trying to come down to Houston because I like Houston. I like watching Houston play. I find Tom Herman fascinating. It just seems weird with a kid like Tyree Cleveland. I just think they're taking the wrong approach with him. And he's such a a talent, and I've been watching his, a lot of his film as of late, and he's just so dynamic. And I'm going to kind of pivot to Audi here, but what are you hearing from him? Like, for me, I look at him, I think that we're speaking in of Oshima. How do you say his name? I just call him Osho.
Matosho, I believe so. I think, yeah, Ottawa, Matosho. He goes by Audi, though.
Audi, and, you know, that guy just has some seriously great hands. He just has really, really soft hands. He catches every highlight I've seen, and granted, it is a highlight tape, so it's gonna look good on purpose, but he just is trying to catch everything that's thrown to him, and he's such an intriguing talent. Where do you think he is? I feel like he could be, this is another thing we're talking about, actually, not on the pod, but while I was watching Andrew Eat and we were watching the Cavs, he seems probably the least likely to come between the three offensive guys, I guess we're going to talk about, Porter, Cleveland, and Audi himself. What do you feel like? Do you feel like he's the least likely to come out of those guys? Do you feel like, are we wrong? Is he more likely, maybe somewhere in between? What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think I think he is the least likely. However, I think TCU is in pretty good standing with him. The main concern I believe he has with committing to TCU is the depth at wide receiver in this 2016 class. There's a lot of talent just up and down the board, and really it's kind of daunting when you're a four-star and there's going to be three other four-star wide receivers or athletes in your class. That's very understandable. The other school he really likes is Oklahoma State, and they don't have, last time I checked, they do not have any wide receivers committed in their class. So that would be a big plus for him. Being able to get early playing time might be easier at one of those schools, and I think that's one of the things that he's considering going into signing day. Now, I think, though, what I've heard is that initially what I've kind of been hearing from some people close to the program is that if TCU takes Tyree Cleveland, there's probably not a spot for him. Might change, because he's such a great prospect, a guy from not too far away from Plano East. He's really a guy that I think that he's might be one of the guys that's the best available guy left, especially if TCU strikes out on both Porter.
Might be breaking up a bit. Bradley, can you hear us?
I'm sorry.
You good? All right,
yeah,
we're good.
I can hear y'all.
We're good. All right. Yeah, I mean, you know, the depth is an issue because, or, you know, the space, I guess, TCU has a wide receiver in this class. Because you got Isaiah Graham, out of Bastrop, who is probably one of, not talked about enough by anyone, including ourselves.
Yeah, he's a beast, though.
He's very, very good. Do you want to say a quick tidbit about him? We didn't really get to talk about him last week.
Yeah, Isaiah Graham, he's just one of those guys that's, one of those super athletes. He makes plays. He can play inside or out. Really, the one thing he has that he can prove is really his breakaway speed, but he's a really durable, elusive wide receiver and has great quickness right off the line. He's a guy that can definitely play at the next level, and especially, having a good 6-foot frame kind of a decent 40 time, and he's one of those guys that can really, stay in the system, in Gary's system, and improve. He just needs to go faster and be a little bit better blocking, and that's something that just kind of comes with practice and game experience.
Yeah, and then you got Cameron Williams. So, and then you have the number one JUCO receiver in Taj Williams. So there's obviously some hesitance.
And Dylan Thomas can play receiver too, probably.
Right. And So you have all these great, whether you're Dylan Thomas, where you're probably going to play receiver, or you're the number one JUCO. Obviously, trying to think of a way to put it. But yeah, I can understand why TCU's interest in Cleveland would kind of deter him, whereas you can go to Oklahoma State, get all the playing time in the world, become, their go-to guy. as opposed to, I mean, TCU passed to nearly 20 receivers last year. Like, they're going to spread the ball around. They're going to throw to a lot of guys. You may not even, you probably will even, like, redshirt next year, I feel like, if you're Audi. But as we, so, like, let's get into Kyle Porter. This is a guy a week ago that I was pretty positive was going to Texas. Definitely not TCU. Now, come Saturday, despite him being at Arkansas, I've kind of got the feeling that TCU's kind of catapulted into the lead. Do we have that right?
I think so, and I think he's kind of been favoring TCU for a while, especially just given how Texas's recruiting class is kind of shaping up, and they also have some other running backs in that system. I think
They got Chris Warren, who's kind of like, I want to say a similar back to Porter, but Porter's a very physical back. He also has good hands, but he seems like more of a back like kind of Kyle Hicks. It's not going to catch a swing pass and kind of like what Sean Nixon does. He's kind of like an every down back in my eye. But so how does he like push TCU? How does TCU get ahead of Texas when Texas doesn't seemingly have like a whole lot of offensive? I mean, they're going to probably end up with a top 10 class, maybe higher, but it's skewed heavily towards the defense. So how does a player like Kyle Porter just not have any interest in going to Texas when they probably need offensive playmakers?
Well, I mean, Kyle Porter isn't one of those guys that's very concerned with, I guess, prestige and kind of the name brand of a school. He's one of those guys that really looks at things closely and really evaluate each program he visits. When he visited Arkansas this week, he said it was eye-opening and really just looked at everything. He was really meticulous in the way he said that. Like, you know, he looked at how great, you know, their facilities and their academics are and whatnot. And even though, you know, it's Arkansas and some people are like, whatever. I mean, you could definitely by just, you know, reading or listening to what he says, that he's one of those guys that, you know, really looks at things closely. And I think if you're one of those types of people that isn't absolutely, enamored by, you know, just what your idea of a great football program is, and you actually look into it, Texas is one of those schools that a lot of those people might be backing away from. And that's why the recruiting class, it's like their recruiting class isn't going to fill out till National Signing Day.
Right.
Usually you have they're pretty much set by the spring. But really, I think a lot of kids that are really in that position kind of see the writing on the wall with Charlie Strong. Kind of see where they're at, like TCU, like Baylor, like Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State that have been more successful under what have been coaches that have been able to establish consistency over a period of time. And I think that's what Kyle Porter sees is like, and especially with recent Texas running backs that, you know, you have a guy like Jonathan Gray, who was always one of the best players in the state, really just have an average collegiate career. I think he's one of those guys that notices that kind of stuff. And again, he's not like one of those guys. No, he doesn't even have a Twitter account.
I was about to say, and you kind of beat me.
He's just one of those guys that just doesn't really care about that kind of hype and stuff going into recruiting.
You kind of beat me to the punch there. I was gonna just about to bring that up. It's very weird. Like, I watch interviews with him, very humble, very like seems like a very very intelligent kid. But it's weird that he's like very much an anomaly. He doesn't have a Twitter account, so how do people stay or track him? Like, I mean, you know, how are you staying in contact with him? How do people have any idea what he's doing? Like, when is he supposed to sign? Because, you know, a lot of these players, and he's just kind of, all two people in this room are quite ignorant of it. I mean, we clearly grew up without Twitter. I mean, I didn't get a Twitter account until I was like spring semester of freshman year. But yeah, I mean, how do you stay in contact with Porter? Like, when is he going to sign? Because we have no idea, right?
Right, yeah. I myself have never interviewed Kyle Porter. I have his number, but there's a lot of national guys that know all the four-star guys, and they kind of keep on contact and relay certain information from, you know, people on the coaching staff at various schools that he visits. stuff like, and other, you know, other, and, really that's what it comes down to. And just, yeah, going off of interviews and what he tells other people. I mean, that's kind of the thing. That's how you keep in touch with these guys. You know, you can't just, you know, follow them on Twitter, shoot them a DM. That's not always going to work. You know, sometimes you actually have to, you know, get their number on the phone. Scout, and I assume other recruiting services, also and websites have a directory of players where, you know, a lot of their numbers are in there. A lot of their other contact information is in there. So you can reach them that way. However, guys like Porter and that try to keep their recruitment on the down low, don't even give out that information. It kind of just comes word of mouth.
So do you have any idea when
coaches and analysts,
do you have any idea when Porter is going to make that announcement on Wednesday? I presume it's Wednesday.
I don't think I have the exact time set, but yes, it is on Wednesday, and I don't think it's being televised or anything. But yes, I just know it'll be on Wednesday. I don't know if it'll be in the afternoon or in the morning. I have not heard that from him. I've been trying to find that out myself, and I don't think he's really set a date for that. Again, he's one of those guys that's kind of low key, and you know, having the big announcement is just really not his style.
Yeah. And I guess the last guy we're going to talk about, or maybe not the last guy we're going to talk about per se, we'll go into a couple quick, we'll fire off some quick questions when we get done with this guy. But, you know, I'm still 100% positive that DeAndre Christmas Giles is going to go to Texas. He tweeted out like an hour before we recorded some frog emojis, and then, you know, Texas linebacker coach / recruiting analyst or whatever the hell he was. It was like, oh, it's Christmas season in Austin, which pretty much confirms to me that Christmas Giles is going to go to Texas, be part of that great defensive class for Strong. Is there anything that I'm wrong about that maybe makes you believe that he might go to TCU over Texas and LSU?
Well, first, when it comes to recruits and Twitter, just throw out everything that they post as. So a lot of, you know, when you see the frog emojis, even though you know he's favoring Texas, that's just something they do to, you know, show that they're still, to get more attention from other fans, to make it seem like they're still in the running. But yeah, I think you're right in the sense that he is pretty much all but signed with Texas. I think after his latest visits with the coaching staff that he's pretty much... I wouldn't be surprised if he's told them that he's going to be headed there on Wednesday. I don't think he's committed, but I think that there's a great chance that he ends up there.
Cool. I mean, I'm trying to think of guys we didn't necessarily talk about.
What's the latest with Cy Martin that you're hearing?
Bradley, are you there?
Yeah.
You guys asked about Cy Martin, like... There's been some kind of words through the blogosphere, the Twittersphere, the textosphere, any kind of sphere, that Cy Martin is maybe thinking elsewhere. Is there any? Can you confirm, deny that? Are you hearing anything?
Sure. Well, I heard on Saturday that he took an unofficial visit to LSU, and it looks like a decommitment might be coming soon. I would not be surprised if he decommits either tomorrow or on Wednesday and signs with LSU. I think one of the reasons why that is because just to be kind of closer to home, and I think LSU really has a strong pull with him.
Yeah, he's from
New Orleans. I will say this, Cy Martin's recruitment has probably been the most interesting of anyone that's been committed to TCU this season. I talked to him, I think last week, the day we last spoke, about if he was solid to TCU, and he told me that he said, oh, well, are LSU and Bama still in the picture? And he said, no, and I said, who else do you like? He said, Oklahoma. So, you know, really, who knows with him right now, but from what I've been hearing, it looks like LSU is the choice, but he told other websites like ours that he's been solid. He's still solid to TCU last week. So it's really, really interesting. So you know, it seems like he's going to commit to LSU. That's what it really looks like. But man, I would not be surprised there too. Just the way his recruitment's going, because this kid basically committed to TCU twice. Once in the summer where he was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm going to commit to TCU, then just never did, and just said, oh, I'll wait till my season ends. When the season ends, he commits to TCU and then takes visits to LSU and Bama. So really, who really knows, but it looks like, I would say it's 90% chance he signs with LSU on Wednesday.
Real shell game this recruiting is. Bradley, in your mind, who do you think of this class, JUCOs included? Oh, why don't we just go JUCO and then non-JUCO? Who are the two kids, again, JUCO, non-JUCO, that are going to make the most immediate impact going into 2016?
Yeah, I think the biggest, starting with JUCO, I think the first guy you really got to look at is Tyree Horton. I mean, comes out of junior college, one of the best wide receivers in the junior college class. Linebacker.
You're good. I do it all the time.
He is one of the best linebackers that come out of the junior college class. A guy that already has that size. I mean, last year we're looking at starting for TCU at linebacker, weighed over 200 pounds. Tyree Horton's at 220 right now and 6'1". So, I mean, he's a guy that can really come in and make a difference right off the bat. The other guy who I think who could also make a really big impact is Markell Simmons. Again, has good size at 6'10", at 190. Just one of the better safeties. I think he's the 73rd overall junior college prospect. So I think he's another guy that could come in and, you know, really to get some playing time in that secondary, given the youth and experience we saw last year. And another guy I'll add in there is Tasha Williams, a wide receiver from Iowa Western, just absolutely killed it last season for over in Iowa. He's a guy that's has all the measurables. Just all around a great player. I'm really looking forward to seeing him play next year. As far as the top guys coming out of high school, I think a lot of the defensive ends are guys to watch. Isaiah Chambers, just an absolute freak athlete at 6'4", 250, runs a 4.8 40. Just, you know, an absolute beast out of MacArthur High School in Houston. I think he's going to be a guy that could come in and, really help TCU reload on their defensive line. Another guy I really love, Siwo Olunia. Lona Lua. Another freak athlete. I think he might get a shot at offense first. But if he needs to come in and play linebacker, which that might be the case. I mean, I'm just giving measurables. It's not like a broken record, but 6'3", 212, 4.75, 40. Just another guy that really has that athleticism.
Yeah, Seiwo is Brownie's favorite player, and he wants to see him do like a Miles Jack, like two-way type thing, which would be pretty cool. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for this pledge. Almost got back to the old days. This signing recruiting class, almost called it a pledge class. Too much Neighbors on TV. Was watching the trailer for Neighbors 2 before we came over. But I mean, other than that, do you have anything else for us? You're very hard at work. You're doing a great job. We've loved keeping up with you and keeping us informed. Do you have anything else before National Signing Day you want to say to us?
Not specifically. I mean, again, this is just a really great class that Patterson's really put together with his coaching staff from top to bottom. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if you see someone coming out of the woodwork at defensive tackle that we may not have covered, or another running back there might be possibly looking at. I know Robert Washington, who has offers from a lot of big schools. He's from North Carolina. He's an absolute beast. I'm trying to talk to him to see, gauge really his interest. But, I mean, he's a guy that's broken records in North Carolina high school. And he's one of those guys that can also just, you know, he might even be a better prospect than both the running backs that TCU is targeting right now. I think that TCU's in a really good position. I think Cyan Martin ultimately decommits, but I think you see a couple other guys come in at the last minute and see a top 15 class this year.
Well, they can find you at our listeners can find you. You're part of the scout. Brad underscore hard.
It's on the scout network. And yeah, so if you want to subscribe for National Signing Day, you can actually do it for free. If you just sign up for a month, you get a free trial. And if you don't like it, you can cancel. So really, it's a good deal, nothing to lose. If you don't like it, you know, you can get out of there. Or if you do, you can keep on going. And you get, you get basically a week of National Signing Day coverage. And we'll be on top of everything. We'll have videos. We'll have a complete, you know, commit tracker. And there's actually a link on our page that would be great to bookmark, with links to all of our recruiting stories, the recruiting class, as well as the top targets remaining. So if you just go on our page, hornfroginsider.com, you can see it there. And for, like, just recruiting news in general, for some freebies, you could just go on and follow me on Twitter. It's at Brad underscore Hardcastle, and also at TCU on Scout.
And we'll be sure to link your, I'll link your Twitter this time to the thing tomorrow when I post it. And real quick before I hang up, and again, thank you for coming on, but between Audi, Cleveland, Kyle Porter, who you thinking we get? Like, just give me a prediction for those three. Give me like a yes, no, yes, whatever.
Yeah, I'll say Kyle Porter, yes. I'll say Tyree Cleveland, yes. And I'll say Audi, no.
I like
that. Those are mine. If you want, we'll be a little bit more specific. I'll say Tyree.
Maybe.
Cleveland is at 85%.
All right.
I would say Kyle Porter is around 75%. And I would say Audi is around 40 to 45%.
I like those numbers. I like that. That's a good way to end it. But thank you for stopping by, Brad, and we'll catch up with you soon.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Later.
Bye.
That's crazy. I'd actually put Porter probably like 90%.
I think he's just kind of a, we just don't know.
And how can you put a percent on it? Like, what are you really percentizing? Yeah. But I really do like this class. I mean, if this was us talking last year, we'd probably be having a very different conversation, I feel like, and the year before. And like we've talked about, this is far from the plateau. It's only going to get more interesting and more competitive and just really better from here on out. I mean, shit, there's a Travis Lynn. There's a guy that's 6'6". He's our least, like, lowest listed player, and he's a 3-star. And this is according to 2-4. I don't favor one over the other. I look at Scout, I look at Rivals, look at ESPN, look at 247, but I just happen to have 247 picked up because mainly they're winning the SEO, and I typed in TCU recruiting class 2016, and that was the first one that came up. So shout out for your SEO skills. Shout out to the firm you use for that. But yeah, the lowest rated player is about a score of an 83. Tight end, 6'6 tight end, 235 pounds.
He obviously, this is a...
From New Berlin, New York.
Yeah, no, he's not from New York. Maybe originally.
Or he's from Bossier City, Louisiana. Yeah.
He's a high school teammate of that, the Keandre Woody cat or
from
whatever.
From the Milford Academy.
But he...
Was it where I think...
This is obviously a stretch, a very stretched out stretch, but he at least on paper and on film reminds me of kind of a Jermichael Finley type. So that's, if that's a name Frog fans remember, kind of a receiving tight end who...
Was Jermichael Finley that big? Yeah, he's 6'5", yeah. Wow, from Lufkin.
Yeah, so we'll see how he develops.
Lufkin's the joint,
but,
man.
I mean, that's...
Reggie McNeil.
Yeah. Yep.
Or was it Reggie McNeil or Reggie Neal? Reggie McNeil. Went to A&M, played quarterback from Lufkin.
I couldn't tell you.
Who cares?
Yeah, I don't care. But I don't know. One thing that old B-Rad didn't talk about, well, he kind of talked about this last time, but he was sort of alluding to this, I think, when he was saying that, you know, recruits are looking at Charlie Strong and just saying, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. The fact that TCU has held on to their coaching staff amid all of the rumors and everything, I think that's exactly why we're about to haul in the class that we are. You know, even if Cy Martin decommits, and even if, you know, I'm very hopeful that we're going to land at least one of, you know, Porter or Cleveland.
Yeah, because TCU's probably sitting at an average of between a 15 and a 20 class right now, and you take out Cy Martin, but you plug in Kyle Porter and shit, especially if you plug in Porter in Cleveland, you're talking about, you're getting close to a top 10 class.
That's a unanimous top 15 class if you add those two guys, regardless
of what Martin does. And TCU hasn't had I think the highest they've had that I can remember was 2011, and they had like a 26 on Rivals or something. Like, this is not, you know, Texas complains when Mac Brown towards his, and I hate using Texas as a catalyst or whatever, but that's just our frame of reference. They're the Cowboys of at least this decade have shown they're like the Cowboys of college football. And I don't mean that like pejoratively necessarily. It's just, you know, as two Cowboys fans, maybe Raiders fans, if Johnny Manziel or RG3 becomes the quarterback, we'll see. You know, when Mac Brown was pulling in those 22, 23 ranked classes, just like if Gary Patterson had that, you know what I mean? It would be, look at the depth we would have right now. Look at the, I mean, we would, everything would just be icing on the cake at that point. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Texas fans, at least the ones that didn't go there, need to really just take a long, hard look in the mirror. We don't have like unanimous, like our fans aren't perfect top to bottom. I mean, there's fans out there like, oh, the Big 12 would be nothing about TCU. I mean, that's bullshit. That's like not true, but I don't know. I think everybody, including myself, needs to just kind of take a break. Maybe we might be getting some news. Thought I was getting some news. Not really. Where were we? Texas and that. Yeah. Okay. You know, we all, including myself, need to take a break from Twitter and just like the internet in general. I love the internet. I'm on the internet a lot. A, for my job. B, for this part-time gig with the Frogs of War and sitting with you, buddy. It's just stress. This is like the worst and best time to be a fan, because after Wednesday, it's really great. But if they do get Cleveland and Porter and maybe somebody else, this could be a top 15 class. And, you know, I forgot who it was. Let me look it up real quick. It was one of the New Orleans kids. Yeah, Kelton Hollins, who was saying that, you know, they're all in like a group. They're all in kind of like a group text. I'm not seeing him. This kid might be a 2017 kid.
Who that?
Kelton Hollins?
No, he's in this class.
Why isn't he coming up on 247? That's what I thought, but am I spelling his name wrong?
It's K-E-L-T-O-N.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. There he is. How are you, everybody? Okay, anyway, he was saying that like all these guys are in a group chat, and he... And that's, I guess, one of the pluses of technology. These kids can recruit each other. There's people like Isaiah Chambers is definitely buying into the system. He tweeted out today. He was like, and it kind of gave me a fucking heart attack. Well, there's the
F-bomb. There it is. Show for the children.
I don't think there's anybody under 18 that listens to this, so I think we're fine. And that one actually slipped. But he's like, I have an announcement to make. Did you see this?
Uh-uh.
I'll read the tweet, because we're about to be done. This is a little shorter show today. Because it's really not that much. Other than, I was going to say that we forgot to talk about the dope win that we had against Tennessee. The dopeness.
Yeah, I think...
I was watching that with our old roommate, Jackson. We were at Fuzzy's, and we were kind of watching that game. Fuzzy's in Austin, not Fort Worth.
Yeah, I was in... Houston. I was in Houston. Just was able to catch the end of it, but... the whole time I could just picture Feltz smiling ear to ear, doing jumping jacks.
He has a great smile.
Yeah. But, yeah, hey, you know what? TCU basketball, it's coming back. Just you wait.
I think it was Isaiah Chambers. It might have been the other Isaiah, but
Isaiah Graham.
Yeah, but I don't think
Isaiah it,
I think
it was Chambers, Chambers appears to be a little more active on social media. So it's whatever you're thinking.
It was definitely it was Chambers. It was Chambers. Yeah, this dude cracks me up. You got Saywo. I got this kid. Having some second thoughts about signing day. Which school is the best for me? TCU was one option, and Gary Patterson team was the next. I get to see him in class, whatever they take, Algebra 2 or Calculus. I think you take Calculus or Pre-Cal when you're a senior. Just dying laughing. And fire tweet, good for him. So, anyway, I guess what I'm getting to is just like these kids, like Chambers. I mean, he's like the Saywo. He's another guy that comes to mind, your boy. That these kids are like just really, really happy to be here. This TCU is no longer, I mean, there was a good article about it that I think Carlos Mendez wrote when he was interviewing Del Conte, but he's like, TCU really is no longer a stepping stone. Like, this isn't just like some kids that, you know, maybe 5 years ago would be happy to go to TCU, but maybe because they got left. I mean, that's what happened to Dajay Johnson, right? He probably wanted to go to Texas all along. He liked TCU. You know, that's clearly, they're going to the Big 12, a great place to showcase your talent, but Texas comes in, swoops him up at the last second, you know, boom, done deal. That doesn't really happen anymore. I mean, it can, but, you know, it's harder for other teams to flex their muscles around TCU because these kids are seeing what a special place it is. And every school has their special qualities, but TCU, people are really starting to see the value of it.
It's hard to recruit against.
Exactly. It's not that it's not going to ever have, like, the... Nah, I shouldn't say it's never going to have the allure that a Texas or an Alabama will have. It'll never have... You just can't compete with time, and you can't compete with like the tradition that both those have. But to be a part of something, to build a foundation of something, and to really just, I guess another thing I'm trying to say is that TCU gets TCU guys, and that's what I'm like the most happy with.
Cause yeah,
in Alabama, that happens with Alabama too. It happens with other schools, but you get a kid at TCU, you pretty much know the value of you're getting guys that are smiling from ear to ear, like Saywo and Chambers, and you know they just couldn't be more thrilled to be here. So, and that's why I think Porter would be, Cleveland's a little more understated. He's a little more hard. He's harder to read. I'm, you know, if he comes, he'd fit in great, but do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that, Brad sort of made that point too, especially about Porter, that, he just seems to take, you know, all things into account as far as, you know, the school he's going to choose. And, those are definitely the types of players and characters that Gary has always recruited. And so it's, and we kind of talked about this in the last couple recruiting podcasts we did, but it's just nice to see that, you know, even though maybe the number of stars are increasing, and you know, sort of the schools that we're competing against are getting to be more of kind of the blue blood programs, it's just nice to see that we're still landing guys who, you know, fit into the system, but also just they're high character guys. They take school seriously. And above all else, they want to be Horned Frogs. So,
Yeah. And
you know, what more can you say? It's just, we're getting a good group of kids.
Yeah.
They're going to work hard. You know, they know exactly what they're in for. You know, a few guys have come out and said, you know, TCU's been straight up with me. They've been very real. They've set that's expectations. I know exactly what I'm walking into.
That's another thing. Like, you know, even people who, I forgot the recruit, Jeremy Clark told this on the Frogcast. It was really great. If you haven't, just follow the Frogcast on Twitter. Like, did a really good job with Jeremy. Who, Jeremy has a very different voice than I thought he would. Very, very cool voice. He sounds kind of like, I don't know, very, very bassy. Definitely not how I expected him to talk, but I forgot who the recruit was, but he came to West Virginia. It's like, well, TC didn't have the crowd. And, like, the one thing that, like, recruits, or not necessarily recruits, but, like, an undersell, I guess, is that people don't like the size of the stadium, which never makes any sense to me because we only have, like, 80,000 alumni and our stadium holds, like, 48,000. It's like, that's just, like, the numbers just don't agree with that. And you're playing Thursday night, like, of course, like, not, we couldn't come up for that. The Houston alumni can't come up for that. I mean, it's just stuff like that's hard. You're not going to fill your seats in Fort Worth, you know, on a Thursday night, despite playing, you know, a televised game. So the only knock I ever hear about TCU is that stadium size. But even when
even so, I
even
mean,
when Aggies troll us or Texas trolls us and they talk about our stadium size, it's like, you have 500,000 people. We can't even fill.
If you've ever been to a TCU game, then you know that, especially, you know, if it's a year like this year or, you know, last year where the team is doing exceptionally well, TCU crowds are as loud or louder than any other
crowd that
I've ever been to. You know, I've never been to Death Valley. I've never been to Tuscaloosa. You know, I'm sure those crowds are insane, but.
And the Jones is loud. It's certainly, I think, louder than, I mean, we may have to get a decibel reader, but I think it's definitely louder than DKR because, you know, it really is like a wine and cheese crowd a lot at DKR. But you may be able to fill it 100,000, but, you know, come third quarter, you know, it's 70%. You know, it's just a numbers game. It's like we can't even fill our alumni base. If everybody living, I think even living and current students couldn't fill up Texas Stadium.
Yeah.
So, and you're wheeling people out on like their deathbed. So those numbers just don't agree. But, I mean, just the last thing I guess we'll say, we'll close with, is just when I went to school, I graduated high school in 08. I guess the class before me was Mr. Dalton, or he might have been 2 years before. He might have been redshirted. I don't think so, though.
He was redshirted.
Okay, well, either way, Jeremy Curley was in 2007. This is another thing they talked about, the Frogs War, or the Frog cast. The Jeremy Curley was this four-star kid from Hutto. Came to TCU, and that was kind of sort of one of the very beginnings of, like, you could start to see that of not only, I mean, Patterson always, like, had great defenses and made great defensive players kind of out of thin air, or great defensive players out of thin air, but Curley was, like, the first one where it really started to change. And if you think about Jeremy Curley, you think about that 08 season when I first came to school, and you barely miss a chance to play in the Sugar Bowl if you just hit that field goal against Utah. The next season you go undefeated, lose to Boise in the Fiesta Bowl, which sucked, but, and then, you know, he capped off his career in an undefeated season and beating Wisconsin. And I mean, I'll just preview, like, I can't wait to play that Jamoke, Brett Bielema again, who didn't want to, who wanted TCU to come in a transition year and didn't even want to do a home and home. TCU would have saw, remember that?
Yeah.
We would have seen no money. I mean, forget him. I can't wait to play him. I guess what I'm saying is just, it's crazy to be here. It's crazy to be in the Big 12. You don't get that reality check as much anymore. Or not a reality check, but you don't really think about not being in the Big 12 anymore and not being a school that people think about. So little kind of reminders like this, having the best class that Patterson's ever had is kind of, you once again appreciate that. Everything he's done, everything Del Conte's done, and, you know, it just makes you really proud. I mean, people always know TCU people to be a little more prideful, and rightfully so, because you don't have T-shirt fans, you don't have people jumping on your bandwagon. It's kind of like Patterson said in his post-game Alamo speech. It's kind of us versus everyone else, and I wouldn't personally have it any other way, but times like this really make me just really happy to be a Horned Frog, so, yeah.
Yeah, drop the mic.
Good. All
right. Don't literally drop the mic, because this is an expensive mic, but.
And I think no matter what, I don't know. Is there anything you want to say before we head out?
No. I think Wednesday can't get here fast enough.
I didn't watch The Bachelor. I haven't checked Twitter, but I think Olivia is still on, so hopefully we're not going to make any promises, but maybe we'll get her on. But we probably will get Marshall Newhouse on. In a cool segment I like to call Marsh and Marsh. We actually met him. I mean, I've met him a couple times, but we talked. I first pitched the idea when we were at that. You were there when we went to that Jonah
Carey. The Ginger Man, right?
The Jonah Carey, Drew McGarry.
Yeah.
Lana Berry, who I think I called her. Or Lana. I think I called her Lana the whole night, but oh well. It's a tricky name.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, Marsh and Marsh. We got that. We still got.
We'll have to get
Feltz back on. We'll get Feltz back on. We got Thrones of War in the spring. We got baseball.
I still think Jams of War should be a thing. But...
We'll entertain Jams of War, and maybe we'll do one. Maybe we'll do a cover a week. We'll see. But either way, this class. I don't know. What do you want to play? What song should we do? I have Live Forever queued up, but you can. You're the DJ.
I don't know. We probably should have planned this beforehand, but I don't know. Maybe a little Forever Young, a little Jay-Z. I don't know. It's your freaking show. You play what you want to play.
It's our show. Never call it my show.
I'm just the producer, okay?
You're not the producer. You're the co-host. Yeah. We're both producers. Maybe soon we'll have a guy that's going to, Richard, that will run the ones.
We need a soundboard. And we need Frogs of War to pay for it.
Okay, well, talk to Jamie about that. Maybe we'll get a soundboard. Maybe, can we have an intern? Can we just pay some kid from UT?
Can we give him college credit?
Can we give him college credit to be on a semi-anti-UT podcast? That'll look great on a resume.
We talk about UT quite a bit on this podcast. Well, so yeah, I don't know if you can call it anti. UT fan, so. I guess they're sort of the anti-hero of our podcast.
They are the anti-hero. Either way, this is Live Forever. This is Oasis. We'll talk to you next week. We'll evaluate this class. We'll see how it fits into the new depth chart and actually get into a real depth chart conversation. So
it'll be fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Thank you if you're a student. Thank you for letting us invade your earphones and get back to studying.
And if you are a student and you need some advice, some fatherly advice from...
Feel free to reach out on Twitter. We're not just here for TC football. We're here for life. We've been there. We've been in your shoes. We've maybe taken some of the same classes. We're happy to help in any way.
Any possible way.
Yeah.
So
you're BrownerBrowner92, I think, on Twitter.
No, that's my Gmail.
What's your Twitter? ThatBrownMan92.
@ThatBrownMan92.
So, anyway. Let Liam and Noel take you out, and I don't know. I'm excited for this pledge class. Or, did it again. I'm excited for this recruiting class.
Yep. We out. You have been Marshall Weber.
Oh, I've been Marshall, and you've been Brown.
Yeah, there you go.